Hello. Today on the podcast, we're going to talk to two special guests about a very special resource we as players have for learning more about the game we play, Marvel Crisis Protocol. My name is Josh. Welcome to the Gamers Guild. So today I'm joined by co-host Matthew. How are you doing today, Matthew?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a pretty good weekend. My wife made a delicious steak dinner. It was awesome. She does it way better than me. So anytime she says she's making steaks, I get excited.
Nice. I just had some choripan today.
I don't even know what that is.
It's chorizo and pan, which is
bread. Oh, no, pan is.
Pan is bread. It's just chorizo and bread.
I mean, you just get chorizo on anything and it's good. So the fact that you have bread in there is just a bonus.
Yeah, agreed.
But enough about us. We have, like I said, we have two very special guests. All the way from the Rules Forum, we have Thoris. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. And had a nice long weekend up here in Canada, so just getting off that.
Awesome. Did you have any good food today?
No, today was kind of a bad food day because we went out to a little local safari that has North American animals.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like park food kind of stuff.
Yeah.
yeah. At least sometimes you get park food, but like I feel like little local places tend to just, it's all junk.
Yes.
Well, and also we have Nagoldar. How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite all right. Melting here in Texas, like most of the rest of the state. But yeah, otherwise it's good. It's good. I've also had a really bad day for food since I've been driving for the entire day.
Yep, I can imagine that. Probably like not gas station food, but like one step above that.
Yeah, yeah.
the sadness in that response makes me feel for you even more.
You two are like on the opposite ends, like one in Canada, one in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Wow. I need someone like South Axis going there.
I gotta say, you need someone like to meet in the middle, like so that you can get like a line of communication all the way up, right?
Like a Colorado.
Yeah.
Well, we're a little past tin can phones.
Well, I was thinking carrier pigeons or like squirrels or something, you know?
Carrier
squirrels. Monarch butterflies. Carrier squirrels would be awesome.
Like the butterfly idea.
Well, anyway, let's go ahead and jump into it. Today, we're going to be talking about kind of what I mentioned a little bit ago. You're from the Rules Forum. So we're going to kind of talk about the Rules Forum, kind of go over what it's about, how to use it, why it's important, and maybe a few things here or there about maybe our own experiences with it or some things that have been clarified by it. Because as we'll learn, the purpose of the Rules Forum, all in all, is for clarification for everyone. Equal access to this clarification on top of that. So before we go any further, let's go ahead and ask, what's the Rules Forum and how can we get to it?
Okay, so the Rules Forum is over on Atomic Mass Games website. It's on Atomic Mass Games website. So it's got a link there. If you're in any of the Discords, I think all of them have the link flows around like crazy. So it's pretty easy access there. The forum itself is meant to be an aid for people to kind of get an idea, help answer questions that may come up. You know, what's the timing of this? How do these two roles interact? How do I go about setting up the game? Because the book that was in my core kit doesn't actually explain that. And you know, all those questions we answer there.
Nice. And like, how does that kind of work? Like, you know, if I click the link, I think the link is forums.atomicmassgames.com. If someone just wants to type out what I just said rather than go to the website and find it.
Yep.
Because it was a little bit hard for me to find the first couple of times, and now I just Google forums Atomic Mass Games, and it just leads me to it.
Now I just hit F in my URL bar, and it just auto completes to forums.atomicmassgames.com.
pretty much now. Yeah,
I'm still training my browsers to do that for me.
Yeah, it wasn't there immediately, I think, but it is just right on the front page now, just scrolling down a little of the main website too.
That's good. Yeah, easily accessible is a good thing for something like this. So
it may also be worth noting, it covers all of AMG's games. So if you are a Star Wars player, your X-Wing and Legion rules are there, and I believe Armada is too.
Yep, X-Wing, Legion, and Armada, which Legion is the next highest in post count to Marvel Crisis Protocol, even though it's so like relatively new to the AMG family. That's pretty interesting.
I can imagine. That makes sense.
So let's pretend for a minute that I've never been to the rules forum. I click on it. I'm looking at the homepage, and I have a question. Like, what do I need to do? Like, obviously, I'll click the start new topic button. I probably have to create an account and everything, right? But once I do that, like, how should I format this? Like, I have a question about how these two rules interact. What's a good way to get that the attention of you guys on that subject?
Well, the basic start of that is to simply post your question. There is the top post on there has a couple of quick rules on here. The first thing is try to make a reasonably descriptive title. That's going to help other people find the answer. And when you actually ask your question, try to keep it very focused onto one topic. Don't ask two or three different questions about three or four different topics and expect to get answers for everything. In those cases, you might find that your thread is deleted. With a warning to, you know, do one question per thread, please. So that just helps with organization, and it makes it so that when you search, you find what you need and not this post that looks like it's not relevant at all, but actually is because it has this extra question thrown in there.
Yeah, because it's not just for me to find my rules. It's also so Matthew and someone else that needs to know the same question can find it too.
Exactly. And then just ask your question. And then hit post, and you're going to notice that it's going to go into this waiting approval for moderators. Every question, every post on here, whether it's a new topic or a reply to an old topic, is going to have is going to require moderator approval. This does a couple of things. One, it keeps people from piling in and creating a really high noise level on these threads. And the other is it gives us a chance to just get rid of posts that are not relevant to the rules forum. So if you're posting something off topic, we're just going to get rid of it. It will be deleted as per the welcome thread. And that may result in like a warning against you and potential ban if you really abuse it. The MCP group is pretty good, and we haven't really had any significant problems in that regard. Once the thread is posted and you're waiting approval, at that point, we need you to be patient. We get a fair amount of questions, and what we will do is we will, when we have an answer for you, we will tag the thread with the names of the rules, and we'll talk about tags more in a moment, and we'll answer it, and then we'll approve the whole thread. Now it's public. We typically will allow the thread to be open, unlocked like that for a few days to allow any follow-up questions from either the original poster or anybody else who happens to read it, and they look at it like, oh, wait, this actually, you know, I have a question about this answer. It gives people a chance to just have a little bit more, get some clarification without having to create a whole new thread. So you'll see a few of the threads go, you know, four or five responses to go and get some additional clarity on things. And then we typically lock them. And if you need to ask a further question about a particular thread that's already been asked, just include that in your post. And then we'll see the link directly to it. We'll see your question for more clarification, and we can come back and answer that.
Awesome. I was actually just about to ask, what should I do if I had a question about another one? So you're already on top of me on that. So you mentioned tags. Why don't we go ahead and talk about tags real quick, unless you think there's something a little more pertinent we know before then.
No, let's go into tags. Tags are one of the things that I like the best about the forum. When you go up to that top right search bar there and you type in, you know, shield throw, for example, and you hit enter on that, you get a whole list of topics. But maybe the topics don't actually apply to what you're thinking about, but you notice that one of the threads talks about Captain America, but doesn't actually hit that shield throw role that you're looking for. You click on the tag, and it's going to limit just to shield throw. And it'll just redo the search looking just for that tag. And all these threads are tagged, and this is going to be a really good way to get cross-referencing and to help narrow your search, where a keyword search might have a whole lot of noise. This should have very low noise and allow you to just find what you're looking for a lot faster.
Cool. So like you mentioned shield throw. So like it'll be like maybe abilities or attacks or keywords or characters themselves that'll be referenced mm-hmm. if they're the pertinent part of the question.
Yeah. Yep. I'd say that's probably a key point too when you're putting up the post originally is try to avoid slang or lingo. A lot of the community likes to refer to things as, oh, a builder or a gainer or various other things that are not actual rules language. We mm-hmm. will clean them up a lot of the time and we will reference things as the proper appropriate titles. But the more that you do that at the beginning, the easier it is for us to tag it appropriately and for us to even just know what you're asking, honestly. It's usually relatively clear, but every now and then, if the lingo slips too far, you may not be asking what you think you're asking.
Right, because a lot of the times, I feel like when we do go to the rules forum, it's for really... Some questions are pretty easy, like, I didn't quite understand this from the rule book, can it be explained? But I see a lot that are sort of complicated rules interactions, like, hey, when I do Lifesaver and it pushes a stealth character out of range 3 of the attacker, can the stealth character not be targeted now and the attack fails and stuff like that, rather than something easy. So having all the proper language would make a lot of sense.
One thing that I also like about the tag system is just that when you put in a search, like, you know, to use Ngoldar's example, shield throw, you'll sometimes get things like shield upgrade for X-Wing and this, you know, something, Atom Shielder and Legion, and you get all the games in there so that when you click that tag, it easily just removes all that extra busyness of the other games you don't really need to have in front of you. Makes it easier to find things.
So if you're on PC, if you click on the search bar in the top right after entering the MCP rules questions form, underneath it, there will be a box that says search in. If you change everywhere down to this forum, it gets rid of all those other game responses.
That sounds like a lot of work.
I know, right? And then from there, you can jump into the tags, and the tags will be easier to find the relevant ones because they're all relevant at that point. But I know a lot of people use this on mobile, and it doesn't show up on mobile. So, sorry, guys.
Nice.
So, we talked about you guys approve the posts and then answer the posts. Why don't we talk a little bit about more of like your role, like what your moderators for the rules forum? What does that mean exactly when someone comes to the rules forum and they see your post?
So this is covered in the that welcome thread that I mentioned earlier. Our job is to answer questions and to help maintain the forums and just kind of keep things neat and ordered. So oftentimes that's pretty straightforward. Who goes first, rapid fire or parting shot? Timing chart tells us, answer the question, easy, no big deal. Pretty straightforward response. Something a bit more complicated, we may have to discuss it internally. Thoris and I will discuss it. And then when things get a little bit more interesting, then we'll talk to AMG to get some clarification on how to go about answering this question.
Oh, so you do actually work, you know, it is on the Atomic Mass Games website, but it, you do work with Atomic Mass Games on rulings, particularly ones that are, like you said, interesting.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Awesome.
This is AMG's product. We're here to help them and help the community.
So when would be a good time to go to the forum, or what would be a good time to post, or, you know, if I have a question about the game, is any question, you know, fair game if I don't see it on there, or like, is it particular kinds of questions I should be trying to ask or looking for on there?
Any rules question is good. Like, we're not going to get into theory and strategy and things like that, but if it's a question about how the rules interact, doesn't matter. There's no question too simple or too complex. Ask them all.
Awesome. So don't feel like, hey, this question's an easy one, I don't want to post this on the rules forum. Just go ahead and get it on up there.
Absolutely.
I mean, if it's that easy, and particularly if it's already been answered, we might just link it to you. And because if I respond but don't approve the post, you'll be able to see the answer. You'll be able to see my response. And this happens sometimes where, mm-hmm. where I ask a clarification before we actually go live with it. And in that case, I might just give them the answer. And then after they acknowledge it, we'll just delete the post because, I mean, it doesn't add a whole lot to go and cover the same topic 5 or 6 times, but it's still a valid question for that player. So they should get their answer.
Right. I like that because I used to play War Machine, and there was a rules forum for War Machine where they were called Infernals. And the way the rules forum there worked was it was just completely open. There was the moderation wasn't how it is here where everything has to be approved. So you would get someone asks a question and about 6 people answer the question in the same answer in different ways. And then someone else would, you know, say something different. Then there'd be a discussion. And then maybe an Infernal would post saying, no, that this was correct. And then the thread would get locked. This way, there's no discussion. This isn't like a discussion board. This is, here's my question. Boom, here's the answer.
But with the potential for you to follow up if there's something that's not clear, which sometimes happens with players who are not from the United States or, you know, just generally English speakers. They might ask a follow-up to kind of clarify something because they don't quite understand something about, you know, the terminology that we used, and they need a little bit of extra clarification there. Particularly when things get kind of hairy with multiple rules interacting with each other and they're trying to find clarity on something.
Awesome. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Like it, like you said, it makes it a lot easier to find what you need to find. And you're more likely going to be able to get in and get the information you need as fast as possible.
Yeah, it ups the confidence level in the answers, I think, rather than having a bunch of debates from everybody. It's just, here is the answer and follow-ups, but here is the answer.
Right. Basically, establishing it in such a way that all of the answers on the forum are from trusted sources, sourced directly/indirectly from AMG. Because basically, not to say that you're speaking for AMG, but you basically are just, you know, speaking their rules to people on the forums. So it's not like you're making, you're not just grabbing it out of the air and throwing it on there and saying, this is what we think. It's, this is what it is.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's like I said earlier, it's AMG's game. Mm-hmm. We work with them to help them help you. And yeah, you know, and all the other players out there.
And it's great because it's that approach is very simple. And when I go on and I want an answer, especially if I'm in the middle of a game, I don't need to read a thread of debate and discussion or piecing it apart. I just want the answer. And having that resource to be able to just go search it, find it, get the answer, carry on is a breath of fresh air compared to when I've played, you know, other game systems and didn't have that access.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing to point out too, maybe, that you've got the rule book, you've got the cards, you've got the FAQ, and you've got the forum. They all work together to make up the rule base for the game. It's not that one is less than the other, or one is more than the other. It's the sum of all the parts together. Like, right. the forum answers from whoever they come through are just as much as a core rule answer.
Cool. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, Matthew, do you have any other questions for us?
No, I'm good right now.
Good right now?
I'm good right now.
Ngoldar Thoris, is there anything particularly you wanted to bring up about, like, usage and or anything else that we may not have directly hit on before we kind of go into a different discussion on it?
No, I think we're good.
Yeah, not that comes to mind at the moment.
All right. Well, let's kind of talk maybe about some specific examples of things we might find on the rules forum, or things that have been clarified. I know that we talked a little bit before the show about addressing a couple things that are relatively new, a couple of things that have been clarified that are kind of important to get out there, and also like an example of, you know, things you can find on here. I'm rambling a bit. I'm sorry. So I know we specifically wanted to talk about the source of damage for tactics cards has changed. Before, the source was the source of damage and rolls and stuff specifically was a little different than it is now. Do you want to kind of clarify what that means and how that works?
So some of the cards, and in particular the ones you're referring to, are, they don't say where the source of the effect comes from. It's kind of just sort of understood in some cases, and in other cases it's just not there. So Thoris actually knows this one really well, because this has been one that's he's been talking about for a really long time before he even joined the rules forum. So I'm going to let him take it from there.
yeah. So previously we had the concept that the tactics card itself was considered the source of the effect, rather than one of the characters involved in the interactions or the effects. Very common example, because it happened early on in the game's life, was sibling rivalry. So sibling rivalry says that, paraphrasing, which terrible to do, but I'm just going to do it for here.
don't do that on the rules forum, but
exactly. Thor, if he's within range 2 of Loki, they can both spend a power to play the sibling rivalry card. And then the card just says, throw Loki medium. It doesn't actually specify who was performing that throw. So previous rulings said that, well, the card is actually going to be the source of this effect. That has specific interactions with the whole rest of the rule base, because if Thor is not doing the one doing the throw, means that, well, Loki now can't be thrown through Thor. And there may be other side effects, but that was kind of the big one that a lot of people latched on to right away, because it limits angles, limits the options for the card. The new ruling that came out, when was that? July 18th, now says that when a card is being played by a character, the character is going to be the source of all the effects generated by that card. If multiple characters play the card, they're all going to be considered the source of the effect. So now this ends up meaning that Loki can be thrown through Thor, which opens up some of the options for sibling rivalry. It has knock-on effects of several other cards. The biggest one that really started getting a lot of people in an, we'll say, uproar about this was Heimdall releasing. Since Heimdall allows you to perform rerolls related to tactics cards, people started questioning, what does this actually do for us? What can we play it with? And previously, there was a lot of cards that people may have thought they could play it with, when they couldn't, because the character wasn't actually going to be considered the source of the effect. There was some confusing interactions for some people, specifically with well-laid plans. That one caused a lot of questions to pop up. Another ruling that had occurred in the past said that when you're rolling dice for a character, so specifically if the rule said this one will use well-laid plans as an example, roll 5 dice for each enemy character holding an objective token. Because you were rolling the dice for the character, the ruling said it's that character that is considered to be rolling the dice. So this had a weird effect in that it's, we'll say, defending character. It's the character that the effect was being played against that was considered to be rolling the dice. So your enemy, Dr. Octopus, could get a scientific hubris interaction off of it. Whereas most people would expect that to be the Dr. Octopus that is playing the card is going to be able to benefit from the dice. Well, with the new ruling, it is now the opposite. The Dr. Octopus playing the card, since the effect is considered to be coming from him, he's going to be able to get a power off of that scientific hubris interaction.
So, basically, I can't remember how I was going to word that. It slipped my mind now.
I went on for a long time there.
Well,
no, this is me.
Well, I think that, you know, something that's really fun, you know, maybe quotation marks fun, I don't know, but when you just talk about all these rules and how they get ruled and how these prior rulings, we're talking about this is rolling for a character, and it makes me think that English is just a fun language.
Fun, yes, fun.
You know, I feel like that's part of it, right? You know, these rules are written in, you know, at least source language is English, and English can be such a double meaning of just using the word for, and the word for could have so many meanings that it can be complicated.
Yep. I think a prime example of exactly what you're saying is within, and this gets into people introducing concepts from other game systems, or just to your point, introducing concepts from English language, how they use English, how their local area uses English, that a lot of people say, oh, well, if it's within, obviously my whole base has to be in here. But that's not how the game system has defined that word. So separating out the game system's definitions for certain things versus other sources' definitions can be a difficult thing for people.
I think that's a really good point, because even in, you know, the other Atomic Mass games, Legion, the MCP and Legion use very similar movement templates, right? The little arm things that bend, and you have to start with the base inside the little, I always call them the little nubbins, you know, and the little arch on one side.
Yep.
But unlike in Legion, where, you know, the models have to go like along the thing, and then if you want to beat their maximum distance, they have to fit inside the little nubbins. In this game, you just have to place your base anywhere touching the template. So that means that you can place your base touching the very tip of the little nubbin, and that's a legal placement for an advance or for for an advance. It wouldn't be for anything else that I can think of. So I've had a lot of people who I've seen them, you know, place on the very tip, or they want to like make this weird movement, like, oh, well, I can't do it because I got to go all the way to the end. and having to explain to them, well, that's not how it works in this game. You know, it's kind of like a weird like switch in their head being flipped. Like, oh, I see that changes. Like, oh, that's why deployment works this way. And that's why teleports are cool. Like a range two teleport all of a sudden makes a lot more sense when I don't have to like you said, the base doesn't have to be completely within or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You see that little light bulb moment when they connect the here's MCP's definition versus how I thought it was defined. And like, this can change quite a lot.
Yeah. And this game treats a lot of things very differently than a lot of other games I've noticed, but a lot of them, while weird in concept, end up making the gameplay quicker and simpler. I think like the terrain rules are one example where people try to overcomplicate the terrain rules in their head about like how line of sight works or throwing works. And then the minute you tell them, just imagine the game is being played on a 2D plane and the three dimensions is just for flourish. They kind of, that's one of another one of those little light bulb moments. Like, Oh yeah.
Yeah, three dimensions make it a lot more interesting to look at. But as far as the rules go, they're so much easier when you just flatten everything.
Yeah, you could actually play the game with scraps of paper cut out in little circles and squares, but that's not nearly as interesting. Again, personal experience from War Machine, we played with a lot of mousepad terrain, and it feels so much more special that every single table I go to, at every single event, and every single game at my local game store, it's all cool 3D terrain, not necessarily always painted, you know, but you know, it always adds so much more depth to the game. And then the rules not even addressing that they are 3D makes it so much easier to interact with them and put characters on them, because it could just be a nightmare once you start getting other weird rules in there, like true line of sight or stuff like that. Yeah.
Line of sight was such a nightmare when I played games. I'm like getting low and looking through and like, am I actually seeing that character's arm? Does that mean I can hit that character because I can see their arm?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine MCP with War Machine. I played War Machine for a while myself too, and yeah, like you said, seeing the 3D stuff is just, that's what I wanted out of a miniatures game.
Yeah, I've even actually seen people say, like, you have to have the wings on Malekith because the wings, the model profile in 3D space affects how close it can get to terrain, and it doesn't really take into account you could just rotate the model so that your wings don't hit the terrain. But I'm like, no, that's. That's not how that works. It's about the base.
Well, then also the rules kind of address that, right? Like, yeah. you can't have your model 3/4 under the wing of the Quinjet, or like partially on top of a car. It's all or nothing, right?
So, right. Well, if you and your opponent agree, you can. That's something that AMG is always very big about. Is they want the terrain, the whole game to be a communication between the two players. But yes, I guess strictly by the rules, they don't allow that.
Yeah, definitely. I always personally, if we're playing local like fun matches, typically the rule of cool is a great way to like, yeah, of course you can step under their wing, or of course you can like jack your base sideways so that you can fit on this thing or whatever. I forgot where I was going with it.
I saw that comment. I'm watching the waveforms
and I'm like, oh.
I saw that comment about Malekith too, and I'm not sure. I'm always interested in where takes like that come from, right? Like, what is it? Something somebody has read in the rule book or in the rules forum or somewhere that has led them to an understanding like that? Or is it word of mouth from other people? Because you see that a lot, where word of mouth from a more experienced player gets garbled, or you're playing this game of telephone with I don't want to say complicated rules, but rules where the precise wording matters a lot. And when it becomes garbled like that, people just end up with completely off-kilter understanding.
Right. Let me tell you something about the internet, Doris. People say a lot of things. They just say things. It comes in their brain and they just say it.
Would people really do that? Just go on the internet and tell lies?
Sometimes I don't. It's not even just lies, you know, nefariously. Sometimes it's just like, well, I don't know the answer, but I don't want to not know the answer, so I'm just going to say an answer, and here's the answer.
Right, or like Thora said, like maybe it's a complete misunderstanding of the rules, or heard from a friend, from a friend, from a friend, or hearing an offhand comment. Like I've heard that a few times. Like someone will hear a content creator like make a shorthand comment about something. Not saying that this is exactly how the rule works, or vaguely explaining something, and they'll, you know, interpret that to mean, oh, this is how that works, and they'll take that somewhere and be like, well, I heard that on the Gamers Guild podcast, and I'll be like, well, no, right. That's not what we meant.
I blame Sooner.
It may have been. It could have been me.
Yeah, and that's not to throw anybody under the bus or anything either, because I'll be honest, when I was first learning the game and everything, I definitely had those moments myself, and things that I just didn't understand. And it's very easy that even when you're both reading the exact same sentence that both people think is absolutely clear, it means two completely different things to those two people based on their past history and understanding, worldview, everything like that.
Yeah, I think it's been interesting, you know, talking about past experience. It's interesting, all these different people in at least the online community that, you know, that I've seen, and even to an extent my local community, people have migrated from so many different games previously that it's interesting seeing like their interpretations of how rules will work based on their past knowledge of previous games they played, because it, you know, there's only so much you can do with measuring sticks and round bases and dice and stuff. So, you know, comparisons and approximations get made and things get grandfathered in accidentally from those misinterpretations. And it's interesting to see like where some of that is.
Yeah. When you're chatting with people like on the Discords, it's pretty clear when somebody's bringing a different game mentality to MCP. And then we get to the point where you can pretty much say, no, this isn't 40K, or nope, this isn't War Machine, or nope, this isn't Malifaux. And then they stop and they're like, oh yeah, that's the game that I usually played before this one. I'm like, yeah, you can kind of tell after a while. And but let's just go ahead and let's just forget all that stuff for this game, because this is a different game from that. And not everything over there is here, and vice versa. So you kind of have to come into, really this is true for any game, you kind of want to not bring your baggage from your previous games with you, because then you're going to find yourself in these spots where you're just, you know, misunderstanding rules because you just assume that they work the way that you're used to.
Right.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
I definitely felt that coming from War Machine, because like coming from War Machine again, I see a lot of similarities in like wording, like the concept of within versus completely within is a very early War Machine lesson you learn. And I remember like the first time I ever deployed, we deployed completely within. And then one of my friends pointed out, wait a minute, it doesn't say completely within. It just says within. And we're like, oh, so you can do this. And then we did it. And we're like, oh no, that's so much different. We were losing a lot doing that. That's how Hulk gets to the middle objective or whatever, you know, whatever character. So I definitely felt that, even though things are very similar, like we mentioned with the Legion comic or example, like things are different.
Yes. Yep.
So there's so many different types of questions, some simple, some really complicated. I wanted to know if there was any favorite rules interaction that either of you had that you've come across?
Oh Oh, that's tough. Do you have one off the top of your head, Nigeldir?
Reality Gem's always been my favorite. It's unique in that it doesn't have a dedicated timing spot. It's basically you roll the dice that apply. So interact, defense, dodge, attack, if I remember all of them correctly. And if you have a failure, treat at least one failure, treat one of them as a critical. And when does this happen? It happens whenever you look at your dice. You roll the dice, somebody asks you a question to the table, you look away, you come back, you have the critical there instead of the failure. Somebody else walks by and bumps the table, you yell at them, you turn back, it's still a critical. It's always on. It's always that way. And it is something that often trips up players, especially the first time they run into Corvus Glaive, because he's really the main one carrying that gem with him because of how powerful it is on him. And it throws people for a loop because you cannot get rid of that critical if that failure exists. You know, the physical die roll shows a failure. But it also means that you can then do stuff to it. So if you can force a reroll on him, you can actually reroll that die because it's not a failure. So there's a lot of... it takes a lot of kind of get your mind around it. And makes it a very interesting card to have to deal with. And it also can create some semi-gotcha moments where you reroll that critical, and then your opponent's like, well, I have this other failure here, so now it's the critical. And you're like, oh, well, that wasn't very useful.
We had that exact situation come up when Black Order released. We were running a local tournament. Everyone was running Black Order. I was running Black Order. And that exact question came up like, so if the reality gem counts the skull as a critical and I roll two failures and I re-roll it, does the other one become? And at first we're like, no, of course not, right? And then I looked it up and had to make an announcement mid-event. Hey, no, I was wrong. This is, we need to do this immediately. there was a lot of really weird things we had to figure out on the fly for that particular card.
Yeah, it's long been a favorite because of how just it's so different from all the other cards that have, you know, very defined steps and where they get used and what their effects are.
Right. It does kind of sit in like a weird limbo state of cards where a lot of things have like these very specific points in which they interact, and this one's just like, nah, fam. It's just like
exactly.
It. Yeah, I'm glad it's restricted.
if you're going with Reality Gem, I guess I'd have to go with I like the interactions for nested attacks, I guess.
Yes.
And just how deep down that rabbit hole you can go. It's something that I find a lot of people don't necessarily understand right away, that you'll have an attack happening inside of another attack. So Flurry, for instance, since it happens in the after this attack is resolved step, it's actually still the second attack that has generated is actually occurring still inside of that first attack. And you will go deeper down that hole, you will do that second attack and then come back up to the first one so that it can completely finish because you've still got 14 B and C to resolve from that first attack. Before I joined the moderator team, I actually was doing up flowcharts. And that's going to sound terrible for a lot of people because a lot of people hate that sort of thing with a game. Where you say, oh, you have to look up a flowchart, or you have to look at this and that. It didn't have to do those, but getting into different people learn things better in different ways, I found the flowcharts were a really good visual aid for people to really see how it all interacted. And I had the main one that drove me to it is pre-modified Medusa. And how her stuff would potentially interact with Venom. and his snack back. So when she could nest the pushes together with the flurry and choose when one happens over the other, and then when Venom could interact in between them and potentially interrupt things. A lot of people think you could get the double nested pushes, and that's how it looked the majority of the time. But in technical terms, there was always those 14B steps that could interrupt it. It's just you didn't see it happen a lot.
And what is all... 14B real quick? Before, you mentioned 14B and C. Which one are those two?
Oh, sorry. So for the main timing appendix, which if people aren't aware of it, that is one of the most handiest parts of the rule book that you can review and study.
Appendix A of the online rule book.
Yeah, thank you. 14A is the resolve the effects that happen after the attack. So when you see something that says after this attack is resolved, you go into that section. 14A is when the attacker gets to do their rules that have that timing step. 14B is when the defender gets to do their rules that have that timing step. And 14C would be crisis cards if they had a timing step that matched that.
All right. Sorry to interrupt you. Just wanted to get that so when we were putting that context out there, people know what's going on.
Yes, no, that's it's a great point, especially because a lot of people have these questions and then we see them asking them and end up finding out that they weren't even aware that there was the timing steps and the appendix that details all of the timing steps for an attack, which, like I said, I don't want to say study it in a study negative term, but if you have a question, that should probably be your first step to try and answer it.
Yeah, and like you're talking about like flowcharts and flowcharts sounding bad, but like I mean really it's helpful sometimes. Like the majority of games that you play aren't going to even bother with that stuff. Like the majority of games you play are going to be fast paced and crazy, and like you're not going to have this hang up, and that occasionally you'll have a hang up and you know you have to like reference the chart or the appendix. That's the appendix. What did I say? You have to reference the rule book. you know, from there on you kind of know how that interaction works, and then it doesn't give you a hiccup anymore. So making that easily accessible in whatever form means that you get to play your games faster and more easily and with less frustration.
Although I will say, if you ever want to play Quicksilver, it's really handy to bring some paper and a pen.
He's the nightmare. He's the nightmare one. So someone at AMG had to have been like, I want to create an infinite loop. Let's create an infinite loop. And I respect that.
Well, luckily it's not truly infinite. It requires a lot of luck.
Semi-phenomenal, nearly cosmic loops.
Yeah.
I think you have a good point there, too, in that it sounds intimidating to say timing appendix and charts and stuff like that, but once you've read it and stepped through a couple of things a couple of times, it becomes muscle memory for the most part.
Yeah, yep. I can attest to that.
And then you being educated in it means that when another newer player steps into the ring and has the same question, you know how to answer it as a fellow community member. You can say, well, this is how it works. I learned that last week and I found it here. And this is how we know that that's the case. And that means that person is now aware. And then, you know, the next person that they see having that issue. And it just means that more and more people can play their games well and help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, real quick, Matthew, do you have a favorite rules interaction since you had this question?
My favorite rules interaction probably comes from when things sort of interrupt other effects. So for example, if Rocket and Groot play Deadly Duo, and then they shoot some at somebody, they target somebody, and then they play, that person plays Heroes for Hire, and then Luke Cage jumps in and he doesn't daze, and then he throws Rocket, you know, away, and then suddenly Rocket doesn't have any targets to do the rest of his deadly duo.
Ouch.
That feels like super, like really superhero-y too, like just stopping someone mid thing to like toss them or to jump in the way, or like, that's actually a really cool cinematic thought,
especially at range 5.
Especially at range 5.
Yeah, you just see Rocket's gun glowing bright orange or whatever color it would be. It's about to overload. He's letting loose, and then poof, get out of here.
He gets intimidated by Luke Cage's glare. I think mine, it's actually been semi-resolved. And this is, I'm proud of this because it's my contribution to Weird Rules. Nagoldar had written an article a while back, I think on Across the Bifrost,
yep,
about some rules stuff before. And you had mentioned, hey, no one caught this, but we did. And that's that in the core rulebook rules as written, beams and area attacks don't have a specific clause to make the attacker not take a damage, because part of the rule is that all allied characters under the template will take a damage for being under the template. And because of the way Within is works in this game, the attacker is within the template. Yeah. So they would be susceptible to take a damage. And I thought that was awesome. It was so funny. Cause it's a new game system. There's going to be little things like that. We talked about English being weird. Like, it makes sense, you know, in playtesting or like when people are talking to each other, that you just assume that's how that works because, you know, of course it's how that works, but then you really read it like 6 or 7 times, like I'm sure you have to do to answer all these questions. You're like, wait a minute, hold on a second. I think we forgot something. But in that has now been corrected, and now attackers don't take the damage. But I was going through my cards and I realized that Thunder Wave is a unique example of a card where the attacker is not the one measuring a beam template. It's actually Thor makes an attack and measures from Captain America, like Ricochet Blast, which Ricochet Blast doesn't use a beam template, so that doesn't have that problem. But Thunder Wave does use a beam, and Captain America is under it because he's being measured from, and he takes a damage. Which was very, very funny to me. That little thing, like that weird, like little hiccup, is one of my favorites, just because it's very funny to me.
I think it's thematic. You know, he's just a man getting hit with a hammer by a god.
Yeah, I can't think of another place that happens, and it's honestly very funny to me to think, like you said, he's getting hit with a hammer, and then also maybe like he missed. Like if Cap goes down, like if he only has 1 HP left, right, and he takes that 1 damage, like you just missed and he got like smacked in the face or something. You know, the card doesn't get used that often, so people don't, like, you know, they don't get to rehearse it all that often. Yeah, a little rusty on it.
I was just gonna say, yes, that was an interesting one when it popped up.
I'm happy to keep it interesting. I probably won't find another one, but if I do, it will get posted.
It's coming for you.
I remember, I think you'd mentioned before, Thoris, that you were, you had also been posting before you had joined the rules forum. I think I remember, I think it was you, the one that got
Don't
me.
Don't say it.
Do you know where I'm going with this one?
Maybe. Go ahead. Yeah.
I think it was you that had pointed out that, measuring a, or checking a 90 degree angle with the sticks is not a measurement. Was that one you?
Oh, not where I thought you were going, but yes. I don't know that I asked the question, yes, if if that counted as measuring a distance or not.
Yes.
And that's actually another one that probably catches people out a reasonable amount, because the game is so generally open with its pre-measuring, that one is one of the things that you can't double check. And just for anyone that hadn't seen it, it's you can't pre-check a towards or away angle on something until you're committed to doing it.
Right. That one was probably one of the few that made me a little upset. I was just like, what? No. And now I don't care anymore. I've learned to deal with it. I've learned to live with my mistakes. And sometimes it bites me in the butt. I'm like, fine, I'm the bad one here. Okay. Well, unless anybody has any kind of closing thoughts, on this part of the rules discussion, we can go on to listener questions.
But first, we should have a message from our sponsors.
Yeah.
This show wouldn't be possible without the members of the Guild Hall and our sponsors Tritex Games, based in the EU, and War Room Hobbies, based here in Tennessee. Both are great local gaming stores that have game nights and are supporting their local communities. So if you are shopping online, please consider using them as an option to support an LGS instead of a company like Amazon. And to help beat those prices, I have some codes that will save you even more off their already discounted prices. If you use the code TRITEXGGCP5 at checkout, you will save an extra 5% off from Tritex's MCP selection. And if you check out at War Room Hobbies, you can use the code MCP2022 for an extra 10% off of your order. And if you already are shopping from your LGS and are wanting to support the Guild's videos or podcast, check out our Patreon page. For as little as $1 a month or $12 a year, you help us continue to put out content for Marvel Crisis Protocol.
So, Matthew, why don't you toss us a couple of listener questions here?
All right. So we have one, actually, I had posted because I wanted to get things started up. And I wanted to know, what was the difference between action, activation, turn, round, these terms?
Okay, so these get used casually to mean each other a lot. Turn and round are often used to mean the same thing, and I most often see it as like turn one when you actually mean round one. So a lot of people talk about turn one plays, but when they mean turn one plays, they usually mean like the absolute first turn of the game. That way, you can do something interesting or try to do something busted. Most common one was like the turn one, score the Wakandan herb. And so that you get in your very first activation of the game, you run over, grab the herb, and get it over to your vessel to score it at the end of the round. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. But then you get into the point where we're talking about, oh yeah, well, it was like turn four when we knocked out Captain America. I was like, well, how did you knock him out? Because he would have been dazed with that round. No, you actually meant round. Okay. So the game is divided into rounds. During a round, there's three phases. During the second phase, the activation phase, players take turns. That's the only time when there are turns in the game. So if something's limited to once per turn, you can only use it during that window of the second phase of the round. Within each turn, players activate a character. During the activation, you can take two actions. Actions and activations are often mixed up, which sometimes affects how Thoris and I read a question, because it's like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? And we have to get some clarity from whoever it is that's bringing it up. This happens a lot in the Discords when people are just chatting about this question they have. Activations consist of two actions. Each round consists of one, players alternating turns during the activation phase. Each game consists of up to six rounds, maybe more if you're tied at the end of six.
Yeah, this is this is something that I learned really early on because of playing Avengers. Like Avengers, knowing that rule is super important to know, like how often you get the discount on your superpowers. And then also, I had a friend who played Follow Me a lot, and we had to figure out how once per turn stuff worked with Follow Me. Because he had all these questions, which Follow Me is a card that lets you take two activations in the same turn, one after the other. And then of course, Husband and Wife does the same thing. But we were already pre-prepared for that.
Yep. So the key thing to remember during the activation phase is that players are always alternating turns. So if you don't have any characters to activate, you still get a turn. Now, generally speaking, you can't do anything with it. Especially now that field dressing has rotated out of standard. If you're playing standard, it's just that option isn't there. But you could potentially cosmic invigorate somebody if you're playing Red Skull in Cabal. And now you have a character to activate, and you can activate them. And you get what would feel like a real turn, which otherwise, you know, it's kind of, people just kind of assume that you don't get the turn, but it's not actually true. There is stuff that can happen there.
I have to clear that up often, especially now, like you said, field dressing's gone. It's not as often, but I frequently still have to remind people because they'll be like, well, I'm going to go with him and then him. Like, wait a minute. I do get a window to respond, and I do have things that don't need to be during an activation. Oh, that works. I'm like, yeah, I get a turn. I don't get an activation. And then I have to have that same talk.
Yep.
Okay. So kind of similar to what we talked about in the past, but a different bent on it. Eric B. asked, what is the most tricky question you asked? Like, which ones made you think twice or more before you had to answer?
Got asked, not you did ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't ask many questions on the forum.
Uh-huh.
Touche.
I can toss that one up first here. I don't know if it would be the absolutely strictly trickiest question, but one that I'll admit I took a while of reading and rereading to make sure I was saying what I thought I was saying. Some of the questions about Astral Ring and how it can interact with things. there was one recently about how it interacts with Scoundrels, the newer Crisis, and just trying to be careful with the language. Like we said before about being precise with the language and using the rules, terminology, and things like that. I went over that one several times just to make sure that the question that was being asked was what I thought was being asked, and that the answers I was responding with matched the questions. Because there was a lot of kind of like double negative sort of just thinking about it there.
I don't typically think about Wizards or Convocation because they feel far too big brain for me, but that is one I'd actually had a discussion with someone about that exact Scoundrels with Astral Ring. Like, how do you get the cover? Like, you don't get the cover here. You do get it here. And that was a rabbit hole we went down, and it hurt my brain. What about you, Nicoldar? Any, what's the funkiest thing you've had to work out?
Man, I don't know. There's been so many of them over the last however long I've been doing this. Honestly, I really like that Astral Ring answer. It's that was a real interesting one when that came up.
I was half expecting you to say, never trips me up. That's no.
Well, I mean, like Thoreau said, you got to be careful how you answer some of these questions. Sometimes if you get a little bit too casual in an answer, it can be misinterpreted as like, oh, this is a new game concept. And like, no, it really isn't.
Yeah. Got to be careful about setting precedent.
Right. Part of that, whatever it was I was thinking about saying.
Yes, exactly. Sure.
Exactly what I was. Yeah, we're on the same wavelength there. We just know.
So Rylan asks, specifically for Thoris, how are you preparing for Nashville hot chicken?
Yes, I'm stepping out of my normal minis gaming comfort zone a little bit, and I've decided I'm going to be doing a little bit of traveling, so I'm going to be popping down to NashCon, so that's where this one comes up, I'm guessing. Nothing, probably just recognizing my own capabilities or lack thereof. I've already had one terrible experience at a work lunch where I ordered some chicken wings that were hotter than I ended up being able to handle, and sitting there in front of your boss and all the rest of your coworkers as you're just dripping sweat and look like you're crying is not the best experience.
Well, the place we're going to, I know, because I always demand I go here anytime I'm in Nashville now. It's called Party Fowl. They have, I think it's four levels. There's just like fried chicken. It doesn't have any sauce on it. And there's mild, which I'm going to be honest, I'm trying to up my pain threshold a little bit. And mild is like still good. It's fine. Medium, I got it last time. Almost too hot. I struggled a bit. And then there's, I think it's called Nashville Hot, which I don't dare. But the real spectacle this year is last year, Sooner, you know, one of our other hosts on the podcast had come, and he's like, I want to try the hottest. And some of the locals said, no, you will ruin everything about your existence if you go for the hottest, which is called Poultrygeist. He's like, all right, yeah, I'll listen. I won't go for the poultry guys. He tried the Nashville hot and he's like, this is nothing. I could drink it. And he is looking forward to poultry guys. And I have to watch it. I've watched one person eat it. Last time I was in Nashville, one of our friends, Matt, One Absolute on Discord and stuff. He tried the poultry guys, and he says he's done it before, but this time it, maybe he'll be like, no, I wasn't, but it looked like he was struggling a little bit. I kind of felt for him. This is another one from Rylan. It says, which question do you see the most outside the rules forums that's already been answered on the forums?
Anything about step 14 in the appendix A.
Being the attacker,
being the attack's resolved stuff that comes up all the time everywhere. Although recently there's been a run on Ronan's the Accuser. I don't know why, but I guess a lot of people are playing him again. So I think in the last week, like just in casual conversation, we've seen it like six or seven times, and most of those questions are resolved by simply saying, I've looked at the errata. And then people come back in a couple minutes later and goes, oh yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, I can see that. Like I also have to locally answer questions. We kind of talked on that. It is a weird one. For sure. With lots of little weird details.
Yeah. Anything that seems to like step out a little bit from the boundaries can get confusing, especially with errata, because like some, you know, if you're just sitting in playing, sometimes you don't even think to look at that part. You're just looking at the card. And you're like,
And that's what usually happens with the Ronin questions. Is they're just like, I'm not sure how this works. And then as soon as they see the errata, it's very much like, oh yeah, this makes sense. And I completely forgot about the errata. I was playing a game. I'm like, yeah, that's how it goes. You don't really think about looking at these extra sources sometimes when you're in the middle of something. So that makes sense.
Well, that's all the listener questions we've got for today. Do you guys have any closing thoughts before we wrap up?
Nope. I guess just thanks for having us on.
Thanks for having us on. Good to get a chance to talk a little bit about how the forum works. And the big thing for everyone to kind of keep in mind is that questions get answered when they get answered. So patience is a major thing to have. And don't get impatient. You just kind of have to accept that some of these questions take a while to answer. Sometimes we can't get to them right away, but we don't forget about them. So you don't need to worry that your question has been lost, unless it gets approved without an answer, at which point you might want to go and ask something about that.
Excuse me. I really appreciate you guys coming on and talking. I think the rules forum is a super important place. I think everyone should really get acquainted with, you know, at least the concept or like a passing ability to navigate it. And while you won't be on there constantly, you know, most people won't look at it more than a few times. It's important to know where to go to get your own question answered if you have to post, or where to find the answer to a question that's already been posted, you know, so that everyone knows how to play the game. Cause the more people that are playing that know the rules means that everyone's playing the same thing and we can all play together without, like, you know, arguments or confusion. We can just have fun games where we roll dice.
Yeah.
This is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for everything. It makes everything you do has really made playing this game a lot easier.
Oh yeah, you guys have provided a fantastic service for this community and this game. I can't imagine the amount of, you know, effort it takes to do it, but it's more than I could probably do, and it's greatly appreciated. Absolutely.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, you guys are very welcome.
And we do have one more segment we like to do. We are, as we say, in the end game now. So we just talk about, like, something that's caught our interest lately. Is there anything that you guys want to just kind of bring up? Some nerd thing, Marvel, maybe not even Marvel related, just something that's kind of caught your interest lately. Oh.
Sorry, I'm just, you can cut this bit out maybe, but I'm just I need prep time for a question like that.
That's the hardest question.
I'll answer. I went and watched Jordan Peele's new movie Nope last night with my wife. I thought it was fantastic. I love his movies. Get Out and Us were fantastic, and he produced Candyman, the remake. I love horror movies, and they're all great, and this one continued that trend. If you like horror movies, it's more of a thriller. This one's not super scary. Especially if you've liked Jordan Peele's previous work, this one's right on the money still. It's super good. A lot of fun, and really, like, I'm a horror movie buff. I really like watching them. I don't really get scared. There were a few parts that kind of got me. I'm like, man, oh gosh, not like gross or weird. It's just, it made me feel like, this is what people feel like when they get uncomfortable watching something like that. This makes me feel that emotion. I don't typically get that. It was really good.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Like, I've seen the trailers, and the trailers have looked interesting. I would not have got what you just said from seeing the trailers. Like, it makes it seem more of a campy comedy, almost Evil Dead sort of thing to me.
And see, like, because Jordan Peele was on Key and Peele, which is like a sketch comedy. So, like, him being comedic is like a thing. And, like, the movie has really good humor. Like, his sense of, like, comedic timing is spot on. But it's not. It actually, like, his movies always have, like, a little bit to say about, like, race relations. This one not as overt as some of the other ones. But it has a lot to say about, like, the film industry in general. And it's like a lot of homage to, like, Steven Spielberg and stuff. Was The Day After Tomorrow? Is that what it is? I've never seen the movie, so I don't know. Can't remember. The Day Before The Day After Tomorrow. And like E.T., like, there's a lot of, like, thematic through lines. And then like some of his classic kind of things that he likes to do in them. Again, if you've seen his previous works, you kind of know the tones they'll hit. And the characters are great. Like, I loved every character that stepped on screen, even though a couple of them, they step on screen, you're like, I don't really like this person. And then you're like, wow, I love this person.
That's cool. It's piqued my interest even more than it already had been from the trailers.
Yeah, it's not what you think. It looks like one thing, and I remember having my expectations going in, and then what I got was so much different, and it kind of blew me away, honestly. I left the theater genuinely extremely happy, like, just with what I got out of it. Again, love horror movies, so I could... I like going and seeing those kind of things. But if I'm the only one, then we can go ahead and wrap up, unless y'all have something that you want to mention.
Only thing that comes to mind that's really at the moment would be there's so many cool games and everything. I love MCP. I've recently been a little interested in Battletech again, because that just seemed big, stompy robots, a different kind of... flavor for game, I guess. There's mm-hmm. so many cool different games like that, though, which is not enough time, not enough local interest, I guess, to even get into some of those sorts of things. If I could do nothing but play miniatures games, well, that's not even true, but there's too many interesting ones.
I feel that. I balance this in Yu-Gi-Oh! I actually played part of a Battletech game. I went to my local game store and like four or five guys, or maybe six, I don't remember. It was a long time ago. They were playing this big free for all on a big 6x4 table. And they're just having like a free for all. And I was talking to them about it. And they're like, you want to jump in real quick? I'm like, I can only stay for a minute. So how about you give me like the fastest Battletech model with like the lowest amount of health, so I can just go down in a blaze of glory. And like, sure. Yeah. And they gave me like this super tiny model compared to all theirs. And I remember like, they kind of gave me the rundown on like how the stats worked, and I read my card or whatever. And the first thing I did is I sprinted across the table to this other dude who was like parked up on a hill shooting people, and got right in his back and just unloaded and crippled his robot. And he's like, "What the heck?" and turned around and like one shot me. But I was like, "Yeah, I put you in a bad spot, didn't I?" He's like, "Man, that was rude."
That's awesome. Yeah, that's the sort of thing I think of a lot with that. Like, I loved the MechWarrior games as a kid. Playing those is what kind of piqued my interest in it. And I said there's not enough local interest. I honestly am not totally sure. There might be local interest. I just haven't found it yet. But yeah, little scenes like that are awesome.
Yeah.
My big thing recently is just kind of been watching the other games that are coming out. Kind of seeing what other people are doing, the biggest one at the moment is War Machine Mark IV, which yes. I started with War Machine, so seeing what they're going to do with a new version is very interesting to me. And then, you know, some of the other new games that have come out, I believe one was it Rivenstone?
Yes.
I think it's popped up on my radar, but like, I haven't really been able to dive into that one too much just yet with work and everything else that I'm doing. So I'm looking forward to finding a little bit of time to explore what these newer games are doing.
Yeah, I feel you on the Mark IV. I've been, my ears have perked up looking at some of the things that they're doing. Some look really great. Some don't look so great. But I saw a Facebook post. Someone said that was roughly like, or heard someone say something like, the community is getting dragged into like modern gaming, modern game design, kicking and screaming whether they like it or not. Because there's a few people who are a little upset about it, but I've also been keeping track of that.
Well, war gamers hate change, and they also hate the way things are.
Yeah, there's two things war gamers hate.
Yep.
Well, Matthew, what's been piquing your interest lately?
Lately I've been trying to read some more comics, and like older comics. I have a Marvel Unlimited membership, so sometimes I like to get into a run of things, of seeing what's out, what's coming out like 6 months ago, and sometimes a little later. And I've been reading for the first time the all new Wolverine, the X-23, back in 2016. And it's been a lot of fun. I didn't expect it to be as fun and lighthearted, but also, violent As it was. I mean, I expected the violence, but I didn't expect the lighthearted and goofiness to it.
Solving all of our problems the way that Logan does with extreme, extreme amounts of violence.
Well, there's only the old man Logan right now. Although he just, I just got as far as, he's only been in the last couple of issues. It's mostly been focused on Laura. But it's mostly because I've been playing a lot of X-23 in the game. So now I just want to read more about her so I can really understand, you know, understand and feel her when I play her.
I feel that. There's definitely been a few characters that, like, God, I kind of want to read about them in the comics now. Like Miss Marvel. Like, I knew a little bit about Miss Marvel, but now I'm like, now that she's on the, like, the tabletop, I'm like, ooh, I kind of want to know more. And the show and stuff being out and everything.
Mm-hmm. That's something that I wish I could get into reading comics, because I love the characters. I love everything about the shows and cartoons and the movies, but the backlog of history just intimidates me so much.
That's what Wikipedia is for.
Yeah.
What always gets me is when you're reading a storyline and it's like, they'll someone will make like a comment and it sounds really important and it'll have an asterisk and it'll say, see this completely other comic series issue 643. And you're like, oh, well, let me go see that. And it's like one page it's referencing. That's like an offhanded joke. And you're like, what? Why even bother?
Well, not to get on a tangent, but that's kind of like, that's kind of where the MCU is kind of going, right? Like there was that, you know, you watch Doctor Strange and then they start off a conversation between Strange and Wanda and then they have like two lines of dialogue and that basically was an asterisk to watch like 6 hours of television.
Well, and that's fine. Like it's like a callback to, you know, people who have been dedicated, but like it'd be completely different if like Doctor Strange turned and looked directly in the camera and said, if you want to know more about Wanda just said, go watch WandaVision.
just wait, it's coming.
That would have been a very Sam Raimi thing to do though, I feel. If it was going to be any movie, it was that one.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, guys, well, thanks again for coming on. We're going to go ahead and wrap up. Of course, I you guys are on Discords, right? Various Discords in the rules forum, so I guess that what we've been talking about the whole time, that's where we can find you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Under the, we'll have your usernames up in the something in the doodly doo or something. I don't know.
In the doodly doo, we'll put it right in the doodly doo. Underneath the doodly da.
Very
tacky. There you go. That makes perfect sense. I followed every bit of that.
If anyone understands the in the doodly doo below reference, then message me because we'll geek out about it together. But anyway. We're going to wrap it up here, guys. Thanks again for coming on. And until next time, keep on gaming.